Okay, welcome back. And against a backdrop of bioweapons, plural, the virus and the shot, bioweapons, against a backdrop of those, we have a very grim landscape of people who have been fighting valiantly in many cases to do something to try to recover from the DNA damage that they have been subjected to by being forced, coerced, tricked into taking these injections. But look, all reasonable people have to draw the line when they start talking about, and in fact doing it, to 6-year-old and 6-month-old children. 6 months to 6 years. Every time one of those kids gets a needle, their lives have been ruined. I don't mind saying it. I hope I'm wrong. I'm not. Maybe once in a while there'll be a defective lot or a defective shots. But these things are not to be denied. The mRNA platform will kill, no matter what it's called. Avian mRNA vaccine, it doesn't matter. COVID mRNA vaccine. mRNA has no business in the human body. It's just completely, it's catastrophic. All right, young lady, what are you up to sitting back? And are you wearing your Girl Scout uniform tonight?
No.
Damn. All right. Well,
there she is. We're having fireworks here now. You know, we're celebrating our independence.
Thank you. Thank you very much for that. Yes, I'll bet the average person now couldn't name 3 or 4 of the fathers of our country, so-called.
I know it.
I'll bet they couldn't. And that's not patriotism. Sorry. Here we got this magnificent document. All we had to do was enforce it. But it was killed. The mortal blow to the Constitution was delivered Christmas time, 2013, when that corrupt, rotten, vile Congress passed the Federal Reserve Act, which had nothing to do with federal or reserve. It gave the right, utterly unconstitutionally, to this group of 10 privately owned Jewish banks to control and issue our own currency to us at interest. That's where the national debt is. You get it? I'm sure most of you do. It's pathetic. And ever since then, it's been a downhill slope of destruction, denial, and degradation of our Constitution, the most wonderful document ever. The Magna Carta doesn't come close. Sorry. All right. So how many people have you seen reporting that they are 100% recovered from the vaccine or being heavily shed upon and damaged?
Hardly any.
How about none?
Yeah.
And no one more than we wish it were otherwise. So, yes, there are things you can do. Yes, there are things you must do. And if you are in the cancer realm, this fenbendazole and ivermectin together have many methods of action against cancers. That's a plus. That said, and we know that the blood is probably the number one opening target of these bioweapons, and therefore the immune system, you really had better be taking one Allicin C a day. Just to keep, if your immune system is quashed, that will bring something back, some competence back to a ruined immune system. And if you're not immunologically compromised or damaged, take it anyway, for goodness sakes. You don't want to get this virus or anything else out there, and it will help you. It's the world's most magnificent broad-spectrum antiviral antibacterial, and it will not ruin your digestive microbiome at all. Think of it as food. That's basically what it is. It's part of garlic. No odor. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, I'm going to say this again. The most important nutritional product I have ever seen, without question, is Bio Superfood. How it isn't in every store out there, I don't know. I think it's too damn good, and they don't want it out there. But between the two, I don't know what else you could do to start to build some structure on the ruins and wreckage of what you used to have as a good, functional immune system. There. Now, and then we get to sludge blood. Have they done anything? Has anyone come up with any way to try to mitigate that? The idea that your heart is working double and triple to try to push this thick mass around in your veins and arteries? I don't know how it can do it.
I would say the best treatment I've seen or heard of is that help plasmapheresis. So, and to my knowledge, nobody here in the States is doing it. They are doing it in Germany through that Beata Jäger's clinic. Maybe there's other facilities as well, but it's not being widely employed. And
yeah. Well, there are some other things
did have,
as well.
Not many. She described a particular incident where she had a woman that was severely vax damaged, and it took, I think the number was 16 treatments of having the blood taken out and separated, you know, getting that plasma out of it and, you know, putting it back in. And it took 16 treatments to get her back to some semblance of what she used to be. And then the treatment, unfortunately, has to be ongoing.
Right. No. And it's not free.
I don't know what the price tag is.
And your health insurance, I'll bet you dollars to donuts won't pay for it.
Not here. It's probably out of standard of not within standard protocols. You know, the funny thing is, I don't know what's funny, what's not, but the treatment of choice seems to be in many cases this IVIG, which is actually an injection of antibodies that have been pooled from thousands of donors, that has some effect in dampening down the immune response. So people, you know, who have developed these autoimmune conditions following these shots, get some relief. But I'm pretty sure these things are about $20,000 per injection.
See?
And I just, you know, should you be adding something more to the blood, as if the blood isn't
already
full?
Well, you just said the magic word. The alarm word. Donor.
Yeah.
Well,
how clean is the blood supply now?
It ain't.
It
isn't.
Yeah, I just read another story today of some woman whose son had to have a transfusion, and within 5 weeks, he was full of clots.
Oh, God. See, dear friends, this is hard on us, too.
Safe.
You may be grief-stricken to hear it. It's hard. It's hard on everyone. These are awful stories. But that's what's been done to us. And damn it, you got to know this. You can't look the other way. We've been set up, and we've been literally given the death protocol. Go ahead.
What should I add to it? It's true.
Well, hummus sandwiches, I don't care. Anything.
Well, chickpeas, you know, are marinated in glyphosate these days.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Now, if you eat the average American processed foods, packaged foods, diet, you have glyphosate in you. That's the latest.
Yeah, it's almost unavoidable. It is unavoidable. Even
it's
if
ubiquitous.
You eat organic, you're still getting
Even.
It.
Even.
It's pervasive.
Yeah, and they knew this when they licensed it. They knew damn well.
Well, the interesting thing is that glyphosate, if Stephanie Seneff in her research is correct on this, glyphosate will substitute glycine in the body. And now glycine is an amino acid that's used for all kinds of structures and enzymes in the body. It's the most abundant amino acid in the body, and it's the starting material for heme. So if that thing is displacing glycine or substituting for glycine, you can imagine, you know, right. the repercussions down the road. I mean, you'll right. hopefully end up with heme at the end of the pathway, but will it be the same kind of heme that it should be if it had glycine and not glyphosate? Or will it be slightly defective?
I think they knew. I do. That's just me.
You know, these amino acid changes can be profound. I'll give you another example. There's a neurotoxin called BMAA, beta-methyl-L-alanine, which is produced by blue-green algae. And it's toxic. And the reason it's toxic is because it substitutes for serine. And serine is another amino acid that's really critical for one carbon metabolism and, you know, building nucleotides and repairing DNA. And so, again, just that one amino acid change and you've got a completely different molecule that is toxic.
Crazy. And some of you don't know what glyphosate is. I think most of you know what Roundup is, all right? Glyphosate, it's an herbicide. It's been around for, 20 years now? I don't know. And it's supposed to kill certain types of plants and grasses.
Weeds.
Supposedly. It's supposed to make fruit ripen. They spray it on fields of wheat to make all the wheat ripen at the same time. So they can harvest it as desiccated wheat.
Yeah, so it is used in actually some organic grains and chickpeas.
Nice?
because it does. It's a drying agent.
Desiccator.
Mm-hmm.
A desiccant.
And yeah. I guess oats are very heavily contaminated.
That's what I've heard, and I'm. That means potentially. Oat milk, oat drinks.
Yep.
Well.
No,
where do you go to hide? I just, it's terrible. Absolutely.
No, it's
terrible.
like a nutritional holocaust. You know, it's they're coming at us from all directions.
Fair enough. Glyphosate is often used on fruit and vegetable crops. Now, I don't know if they can name it something that enables it to be used on organic fruit and vegetables. I don't think so, at least theoretically. They're not supposed to be able to. It's used on canola, corn, cotton, soybeans. Soybeans are not good for you. Never forget that article I read. Soy, it isn't so. It's a play on say it isn't so. And it was a very good article. Sugar beets, wheat, glyphosate is everywhere.
Well, it's contaminated the water supplies too. So, you know, these fields are getting runoff or rain, whatever aerosols.
Yeah. Right.
This stuff is everywhere.
It's sickening. I think they did say that they could find it virtually in every 100% of people now. It was something crazy like
yes.
that.
Yes. Yep. But you can take some steps to protect yourself. You know, that fulvic acid protects the gut somewhat from that assault.
Uh-huh.
And then just taking a supplement of the glycine can help the body not assimilate the glyphosate in its place.
Very good. And you beer drinkers out there is glyphosate in beer as well. barley, right? They spray barley with glyphosate. Now, theoretically, if you got organic beer, the barley should be unsprayed, untainted with any kind of chemical. But who the hell knows, really? You know, FDA inspectors are USDA inspectors. All inspectors. Bribes are everywhere. It's just, you know, once you give a bribe, you're as guilty as the taker. So it's kind of a self-sealing deal. You can't talk about it. Here, I just found this, glyphosate in oats. Let me see this. In a National Institute of Standards and Technology study of 13 oat-based foods, the organization detected glyphosate in all of them. But yeah, the levels were well below the FDA's, or EPA's in this case, tolerance level. Do we trust the EPA? What did they do with Fukushima? With the radiation, they raise the safe level in foods astronomically. It was all lies. So, if it were...
It's another captured agency. You know, they're all gone
they're
at this
all.
Point.
Well said. That's a good term. Yeah. Long-term risks of glyphosate, scientists are divided on how much risk there actually is. Well, so much for our scientists. Some studies suggest glyphosate may be linked to cancer. Yes. Others suggest there's no link. So they keep it caught up and obscured in the subterfuge of chaos and argument, counterpoint, and all the rest of it. Liver and kidney damage.
Toxin that can, you know, for the reason I described, is substituting for glycine. Is that's the only thing it did that's bad enough, but
exactly.
It has profound effects on the microbiome and really impacts sulfur metabolism. And the other thing it does is it facilitates the uptake of aluminum into the brain.
How nice. Just what we need. Not to mention the aluminum in your underarm deodorant that goes into your body and is circulated and deposited here and there. If you have aluminum hydrate or chlorhydrate or whatever it is in your deodorant, say, put it back. Don't buy it.
Yeah, the only reason it works as a deodorant, well, it's not really a deodorant, it's an antiperspirant. It paralyzes the nerves.
It's absolutely crazy. Nobody knows that. There's a difference between a deodorant and an antiperspirant, and she's 100% right. How to reduce your exposure to glyphosate? Always wash your hands carefully after using glyphosate. Or, if you've touched plants that have been sprayed in the past 24 hours. I was in a store today. Happens once in a while. And there was a shelf, and it had glyphosate Roundup spray bottles. You know, a little nice-looking white, happy spray bottle with a quart of death in it, and you go out to your little garden or whatever, and you spray it, or you spray around your curbs or your mailbox or your flower gardens. Kill those weeds. And it was almost sold out.
Oh, boy.
There was very few bottles left. I think there were 5 or 6, and they were originally probably 30, 40. Yes, big seller. Big seller. Wear protective clothing, such as long-sleeved shirts and long pants, whenever using glyphosate, whether you're a farmer or a gardener. Don't let the spray blow into your skin. Onto your skin. Avoid spraying on a windy day. Never eat or drink or smoke while using glyphosate. Don't walk around barefoot less than 24 hours after an area has been sprayed. Buy only organic foods. Okay? Keep children away from glyphosate. It is a start. Wash fruits and veggies thoroughly, even if they come out of the store as organic, because somebody handled them. Not a joke. Keep children away from glyphosate products. and areas that have been sprayed. Keep pets away. Please watch for your pets. Don't let them run around if you've just used this poison. All right. Enough of that. Okay, we have another astounding story we're going to weigh in to. The guy's name is David Dentz, D-E-N-T-Z. How did David Dentz survive as a COVID hospital patient when many others did not? He claims it was the family advocated for them. How many times have we urged you to get an advocate? Do it now. Every one of you in a family, make plans. Who's going to advocate for whom? All right. Set this up anymore?
Well, it's just another another saga of somebody that was close to murdered in the hospital.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, there is a minor pandemic, maybe it's major, of liver failure. We've been talking about this, and it's very common now. Kidneys as well. So just two more hallmarks of a successful creation and deployment of a biological weapon. All right, here we go. David D-E-N-T-Z, Dentz.
So this is about you. You are a survivor.
That is correct.
All right, first question to you. Did you take the COVID-19 shot?
I did not.
Did not. And why didn't you?
Because there is enough information out there, if you knew where to look, that there were so many red flags about it. There wasn't enough testing. People were talking about side effects from the vaccine. And it's not even a vaccine because it doesn't protect you, obviously, and that's been proven since then. But I had no qualms about refusing to take that shot or any boosters.
So, Dave, can you tell us the events that led up to you being admitted to hospital?
So what happened, I'm going back to November 15th of 2021. I was feeling pretty lousy, and I had...
November 15th, 2021, he is not injected. Don't forget that.
I finally took a COVID test, and I was diagnosed with COVID on November 15th of 2021. Throughout the course of the next 6 days, I gradually got worse to the point where my oxygen levels were declining. They were in the mid to high 80s consistently, and I was having problems breathing. So I went to the ER, and they admitted me the same day, and a couple hours after I went to the ER, and they put me on remdesivir as soon as I got there without my knowledge or consent.
Don't forget that. You just heard it again. That's why you need an advocate. And I'll never forget when Harry Cooper was taken to the hospital with what he thought was flu. He was very sick, and he went into the ICU, and I knew he didn't have the support he needed. So I called him, and I was talking with him, and he could hardly talk. He was just out of it. I said, please put the nurse on, the attending nurse. And he did. And I raised my voice at her. I said, under no circumstances are you to give this man or allow this man to be given remdesivir. And I was not pleasant. And they didn't. And he recovered. If he had been given remdesivir, gone. It's a killer, okay? You know that by now.
And I was given at least two doses according to the medical records. Over the course of the next, I'd say 10 days, I gradually was getting worse to where...
Two courses. Okay, hey, what's a course? Do you know? A course?
Is it a bag? I'm not sure.
It have to be a bag. I don't think it's a bag. I don't think they just inject it. Let's just say a course would be 3 bags, 4 bags, something like that, with remdesivir in it. And that's got to be what it is.
They were trying different types of oxygen masks for me to help my breathing or make it easier on me, and that wasn't working. So on December 1st, had a conversation with my doctor, and he told me in no uncertain terms that I was going to die. And there's basically not a whole lot else they could do for me. And I specifically asked to be given ivermectin and or hydroxychloroquine, and they refused, saying that it wasn't in their protocol. My wife had asked the same question within a couple of days of that previous also, and they said the same thing to her. So I said, Doc, if you're refusing to give me what I asked for and you're telling me there's nothing else you can do, that's not an option. That's not a choice anymore. You're forcing me to do something I don't want to do. And he said, well, the only thing we can give you is remdesivir, and we have it notated on here that you didn't want that or you don't want that. And I said, no, I don't want it because of the kidney damage that it causes. Well, they had already given it to me when I was admitted on the 21st, and they didn't tell me about it.
Unbelievable. I don't know if he could have. He should have got up and walked out ADA and just gotten somewhere somehow the materials he wanted. The reason the doctor told him is you're dying is because they had given him 2 courses of remdesivir. This is what hospitals do. Not all of them, and many of you listening work in hospitals. We know that. And you know, many of you listening, that your protocols are not correct. They're deadly. So how ironic does it get? The guy goes in, not shot up, allegedly COVID positive. We wonder about what tests they used on him. This is back in November 2021. PCR? Don't know. And then they give him twice courses of remdesivir, and he's dying. They're killing him. And the doctor told him. This is beyond belief.
So anyways, that conversation didn't go anywhere. So they intubated me and put me under on December 1st.
There's a picture of him in bed with they cut a hole in his neck and they put the tube down there. He was intubated that way. It's sickening.
A couple days after that, on the 8th, they started dialysis on me because my kidneys had failed to the point where they weren't working anymore. Now, mind you, I had 0 issues with my kidneys prior to going into the hospital. So they started dialysis. They were removing a lot of fluid every time I had dialysis, and I was having dialysis every couple of days. So on the 18th of December, they put me on a trach ventilator. I continued declining and losing weight. They were trying, I've got like 3 pages of drugs they were giving me. I can't even list them all.
Did you have anybody from your family advocating for you or helping you?
Oh, yeah. My wife was. My kids were. Several friends were. They didn't care. I mean, I'm not kidding when I say they didn't care. And they've got those conversations documented. That they refused to do anything they asked for. It took them 6 days after I was admitted before they started giving me any nutrition. So I had no food for 6 days. And that was only because my wife and I were pushing the issue about getting nutrition.
Unbelievable.
Oh my God.
Unbelievable. This is what you face when you go into a hospital situation. This is one of the worst examples. There are others that aren't as bad. But even that they have a protocol with remdesivir in it, no, no, and no again, no.
They weren't even going to give me any food.
This is what everybody says. They were starving, and most people were actually really needed hydration as well. What's their reasoning behind it?
I honestly think it's money. Because if you look at all the money they were paid after they met certain guidelines, after they diagnosed you with COVID, if they admitted you, if they put you on a ventilator, if they gave you remdesivir, there were so many metrics that they could meet that got additional payments from the federal government. It was ridiculous. I mean, it really was. In my opinion, and I'm sure there's a fair amount of people out there that agree with me, they were chasing money instead of treating people and trying to heal them.
They were getting paid to kill people. This is a paid death camp. That's all it is. Paid murder. All right? Murder, Inc. Paid for by the federal government, which means paid for with our money. Right?
Yep.
This is a great example here of how they literally have protocols to kill. It's absolutely right there.
That's my two cents. And then, so early January, late December, early January, they met with my wife and my kids three times over the course of a couple weeks. They wanted to end my life support. Their statements to my wife and family were there was nothing else they could do. My quality of life was never going to be good. It was always going to be poor. They said I had the worst COVID lungs of anyone they've seen.
Honest to God, I can hardly listen to this.
Yeah.
This is Western medicine. This is modern Western medicine in the year 2020, whatever the hell it was, 23. I can't believe this. They want to pull the plug on the guy. They kill him. They starve him. They don't hydrate him. They give him obvious poison. They refuse. If he had just simply been given proper food, nutrition, ivermectin, and or hydroxy, he'd have been right out of there. No problem.
Yep.
And the hospital would have been probably shorted 30, 40,000, 50,000. I don't know. The bastards are in it for money. They don't care about human life. I'm not saying that the nurses and the techs and the lab workers are of that mind, but they're working for the man. You can't deny that. And they know damn well what's going on. Many of them do. Nurse Ann has underscored that. She knows. She's working tonight, by the way.
And that if I survived, I'd need 24-hour care as well as oxygen for the rest of my life. I'd never leave a hospital bed, basically. So after the third time of them pressuring my wife and family to end life support, my family got together and they made a decision to have an intervention on my behalf. So what they did is they started giving me ivermectin paste in my mouth. Understand, I was in a coma at this time. They didn't tell the hospital, obviously, because they would have kicked them out or barred them from entering. They gave me ivermectin paste in my mouth for 2 to 3 days. Within 3 days, those 3 days that they gave me ivermectin paste, I got better to the point that the doctors and nurses said they had no idea why I was doing so good, considering they hadn't changed anything in the medical treatment they were giving to me.
Their best efforts to kill him failed, and they were concerned.
Still getting infections. I had numerous infections in the trach. They changed my trach several times during that period. And I finally got good enough by the end of January on the 25th that they moved me. You know, whenever you get admitted to another hospital, they have to do a full evaluation of you. So then upon arrival, one of the first things they told my wife was that I was severely over-medicated, which I was. They kept me in a coma and whatever else they were doing.
30 different pharmaceuticals he was getting. I forget the exact numbers, over 30.
So Regency started weaning me off drugs, all the drugs they had me on. It took several weeks I went through withdrawals. I mean, I didn't know what was going on. And when I did finally wake up, my first memory was of getting dialysis. There was a guy standing next to my bed with a dialysis machine. And I asked what was he doing and what was going on? And he says, "You're getting dialysis." That's my first memory after December 1st of 2021. So I stayed at Regency for a while. They started doing some rehab on me. It took me a while to get all those drugs out of my system. There's still a lot of memories I don't have. I mean, my wife has got a lot of things well-documented, conversations we had. She said that I was responding to her and I was answering questions, but I don't remember any of that. I just don't. It's like a black hole for several months.
It's hardly surprising, Dave.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it just...
He's becoming emotional now, and he should. He's been... I mean, the man literally was... I don't know how he survived that much of an effort to kill him, which is what it was. There's no other way to look at that.
Yeah.
None. This guy is a hero, and there are many others like him out there who have fought through it. Unfortunately, the great majority weren't as lucky.
Excuse me for a minute.
Okay. You know, Dave, you've been through hell and back, and the post-traumatic stress must be incredible.
You know, if it wasn't for my wife, my kids, we wouldn't be having this conversation right now. They stood up against the hospital and all those doctors and nurses that gave up on me and just wanted me out of there. It's sad, actually, because I think if they would have not been so rigid in that their protocols that they were pushing on people, it literally was a one-size-fits-all. They didn't care. They didn't want to deviate from it. And that's where I say, like I said previously, it was because of the money. There's no money in giving people ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine, which is proven, and it's been on the market for years, actually probably a couple of decades. And I hate to think of how many people would be alive today if they were at least given the opportunity to take those drugs. I mean, I don't know. I don't have a number, but it saved my life.
Yeah.
This guy's in a coma, and his wife, family, were sneaking in there with a tube of horse paste and giving him a little bit in his mouth. And just after 3 days, and this guy is beyond death's doors. He's got both feet in the door. I am amazed that he's survived. I just wish all those people involved would be... I don't think there's any punishment too severe for them for being willfully negligent in many cases.
Yeah.
I don't know how you people feel about it, but every time I see a video of a little child, 6 months to 6 years, whatever, with a needle, it's very good for them that I'm not king. I would get rid of them. If they're that negligent, and this is an issue of life and death, and they're killing people like that, they need to be held accountable. But that's
I
never
agree.
Going to happen. We know that. It's not going to happen. All right, let's check a little bit more of this.
I really believe that the few survivors that we've interviewed, you're here for a reason. You're here to be their voice. They can't.
I told them I'm not letting this go. I mean, if that's all I can do, if that's my contribution moving forward, I'm fine with that.
All right. God bless you, David Dents, and keep it up. That's a great story. We win some once in a while, but without his family having done their homework, at least to the degree they did, he wouldn't be here. It's incredible that he survived that.
There's so many stories like that. You know, and that was, what, November of 2021. So by then it was already becoming apparent that there was, you know, some skullduggery going on in these hospitals.
Absolutely. You bet.
But the people that went before them, a lot of them ended up dead.
They're gone. Hundreds of thousands gone. Now it's in the million. Now I think, personally, it's over 20 million in this country dead at least. I don't think you'd notice the difference. 4 years? Would you miss 1 out of 10 people? I don't think so. I think the actual numbers of dead, we're not going to find out. Never. And yet everybody you talk to knows somebody who's died or been severely injured, brutally injured by these things.
Yeah.
I talked to somebody again, a clerk, the other day on the phone. And I forget how the subject came up. I said, do you know anybody who's had trouble with these injections? Oh, yes. My this, my that, my that, da, 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 da. And so it's, I think if you ask most anybody, they're going to say the same thing. You got a lot of dead people here that are never going to have a voice. Oh, they died of kidney failure. That's all it'll say on their death certificate. Lying, lying, lying.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anything else you want to do here? We've got a lot of readers that we can get into.
Yeah, so why don't we do that?
Good stuff. Amyloidosis is a real big problem which doesn't get much notice at all. But I still go back to the dark field microscope picture of the blood, and there were little amyloid, I call them seedlings, floating all through the blood, looking for a place to lock onto and start growing.
Yeah, as soon as the blood, you know, stagnates, it doesn't take any time at all for them to start forming.
Well, it's like sludge blood, okay? All right, unvaxxed turbo cancer. This is a real shorty. I don't know if that's too short. Let's do that. You want to do the amyloidosis group?
Sure. It's not too involved. It's rather simple. People are getting a little bit braver now, and now that we're allowed to talk about it to some extent, asking questions in some of these social media groups. It's not, you know, a free-for-all yet, but there's more openness in discussing the consequences of these injections. People are starting to realize there may be a connection.
Right. Before we jump into that, let me do this real quick. Pets. Someone asks a question here, and it's titled, Pets Suffering Shedding. Your pets suffering shedding from the vaxxed. And it's real quick. Someone said, what if you have a vaxxed friend come over for a little while, a visit? Are our pets in danger? And the response to that, all I can say is this. I had 2 Maltese dogs, a brother and a sister. I took them to a groomer once a month, and after the groomer got the jabs. Both dogs were crippled, blind, diabetic, and had Cushing's disease and died within 2 years after that event happened. I don't recommend that you let anyone near your children or your pets that have been vaccinated. All right.
Good advice.
Word to the wise. There it is. Okay, let's go with the amyloidosis.
All right. Someone asks, I am curious, how many were vaccinated for COVID and then diagnosed amyloidosis afterwards? All right. As of that day, there were 118 comments, and I can tell you the vast majority of them were in the affirmative. Yes. First one, my husband was. Another one says me. Another one says my husband. Another one says me. And somebody posts a link to the study, COVID-19 infection and vaccination and its relation to amyloidosis. What do we know currently? Someone else chimes in, me, another one. It was 2 years for me after getting it.
Wow. Keep going. The next two.
Okay. My family member was diagnosed after having at least one confirmed case of COVID. He was never vaccinated. Another one, I was vaccinated. I had COVID twice. I was diagnosed with amyloidosis after.
All right, there's two examples right there. One was vaxxed.
The other was vaxxed and had the infection
never,
twice.
He was never vaxxed. Okay, yeah. So, shedding, bioweapon, the vax, and the virus, equally as catastrophic.
Insidious, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
Go ahead.
Another one says, yes, but how would I know if it had anything to do with the COVID shot? I was hospitalized for 10 days in January 2020 in isolation. I couldn't walk for 7. I was so weak. I was diagnosed with influenza A, sepsis, and a, quote, unknown. Now, remember, that was before the pandemic was actually announced. I didn't get a vaccine until they were available. I never found out what the unknown was. However, given the dates, January 1st, 2020, COVID was just starting to make its debut. I could have had amyloidosis for a number of years and just happened to locate it through a lung clinical try for my COPD and emphysema. Yeah, it's valid. Next one, I was diagnosed before. Another one, me. Another one, my mother. Next one, I was.
Wow.
This one, I was admitted for SCT the day COVID lockdowns began, Monday, March 16, 2020, 8 a.m. I had a choice. I went through with it. Not ideal, nor recommended for future reference. And next one, me. And you, let's see. Bunch more me's, me, me, me. Here's another one. All right, here's somebody that's putting up an objection. I see no link whatsoever. My dad got diagnosed through 2020, but the amyloid had already built up in his heart. Be more concerned about suffering from a pulmonary embolism, DVT, sudden heart attack, as I work in the emergency department booking plenty of under 60s in. Some not had the jab, but some had COVID. The proof is out there that COVID thickened the blood.
All right, is that their baseline of amyloidosis in terms of this discussion? Mud blood, sludge blood, thickened blood. And then are they talking about dark field, seeing these little whitish?
No, when you diagnose amyloidosis, you have to do a biopsy. You actually have to take a sample and have it sent to a lab and stained, basically, with a special stain that looks for these aggregated proteins.
Got it.
So, and you know, you've got to take the sample from the tissue in question, which if it's the heart, that's...
A lot of tissues to sample in the body. Lots.
But the there is the serum A amyloidosis in the blood, the light chain AA amyloidosis, and that would be a blood sample, I believe, or maybe it's a bone marrow biopsy. But then the other one, they would take a fat pad biopsy. It's really just a skin sample, and they can tell that way. But then the one for the heart, yeah, you would actually need a sample from the heart.
Okay, go ahead and finish this page.
Let's see. My husband started having symptoms 1 month after getting his second vaccine, but his doc said he would have had it for 2 years before he was diagnosed. Yeah, maybe. Here's another one that's not comfortable with this conversation. Correlation does not imply causation. 80% of U.S. population got at least one dose of the vaccine for COVID. So, of course, there will be people who got the vaccine that are also going to be diagnosed with amyloidosis. Another one. Amyloidosis is in one system for a very long time before it presents. It has nothing to do with COVID. Well, there's someone with their head in the sand.
Sorry.
My dad was vaccinated and boosted. He started having symptoms 3 months after the first shot. In my heart, I definitely believe there's a correlation.
The two are not connected. Are you trying to start a conspiracy? All right. Another me. Another one before. And someone says, my husband picked up amyloidosis after he had the vaccine. He was a strong, energetic, very healthy, conscious guy and did not have any other ailments. He was diagnosed in August of 2023, started his treatment soon thereafter. Sadly, he passed away October 19th, 2023. He started his treatments in late August, died in October. Those of you who have amyloidosis and treatments that are helping you, consider yourselves lucky. Live your lives to the fullest. I lost my husband, my beloved husband. My mom lost her son. His siblings lost their brother. The disease was the first in our family. We all were so clueless and did not know amyloidosis even existed. My husband was only 51 years old. And the final in this little string, the people who didn't trust science are the first in line for chemo when they are diagnosed with cancer. This question is ridiculous and should be taken down by the administrator. To think that there's a correlation is about the same as the advice to drink Clorox to cure COVID.
Not exactly. You know, if you want to look at the literature, it's there. There is a very strong correlation now, but both with the infection, because we know what it's doing. You know, it has that potential to cause protein misfolding. Wherever it goes, it's highly inflammatory. It creates hypoxia.
These misfolded proteins, prions, are, I don't think, as yet, being given their due in terms of reporting on them and their importance. I think this is huge. I think we're going to see terrible things. The CJD groups are going to explode. I think they already are.
Oh, they are. They're, all of these, you know, protein misfolding type of diseases are seeing a huge influx of people coming in looking for support.
Right. It's nuts. Okay, that's it for tonight. Thank you. Good job as always. And we hope our dear listeners out there can make sense of it all. And just keep in mind the story of David Dentz, D-E-N-T-Z, and his war that was fought while he was in a coma by his family to save him from the organized attempts to kill him in the hospital.
Mm. Tragic. Okay, happy 4th. Good night, everyone.
Good night. All right, we'll be right back with more after this.